Some of you might feel strange when folks are at a spiritual service on Sunday and pop the top, you know. Gosh, we can come to the spiritual service and drink Coke, you know. You know, I do tape, so those who hear that pop top, I want to make sure they know it's not, you know, any drastic mood altering chemical. Welcome to Sunday Spiritual, an interfaith approach to spirituality. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dr. Neil Lundgren. Very honored and happy to be here to weekly celebrate this community of various forms of recovery, deepening spirituality, the attempt, if you will, to align our emotional growth with our spiritual growth. Those that come here unattended by choice are certainly those who would not be here if that was not your project. Today, part 3 of Spiritual Turning Points. Spiritual Turning Points. We have been on quite a journey in attempting to name at least some visible spiritual turning points where the self gets to a point where it needs to make certain decisions about what it wants to do, how it wishes to transition, right? How it wishes to incorporate new knowledge, new data, oftentimes new relationships. And how does one continue to incorporate and challenge oneself and extend in breadth and depth one's spiritual awareness and experience. I've saved this part, part 3 of Spiritual Turning Points, to now. And let us name it the Spirituality Crisis. And I would like to look at it at sort of from 3 angles. The Spirituality Crisis. 1, the global crisis. 2, the corporate crisis. Okay, and 3, the personal crisis. First, the global crisis. And of course, not only if one speaks of the spirituality crisis, hopefully we will move from the problem to the solution. Okay. So what I would like to do is at least name part of what I'm perceiving to be the solution, along with naming the problem. One must celebrate the good news. And the good news is the awareness of such that there is a crisis at all is quite an advance. And it says that we are really moving into millennial spirituality. Millennial spirituality. We are becoming aware, taking stock, if you will, of so much of our lives personally, in our corporate way, and also in the global consciousness, because we are moving into the end of the millennia and into the new one. And so, if anything, this would be a millennial church, okay, or millennial place. It's not the place is on the inside. It's not the outside space. The place of spirituality that is real and authentic is in the inner place, and it happens to transform the outer environment. Wonderful. But once it gets stuck in any external manifestation or external sign and stays there, it stops growing and it dies. The global crisis. I think it is fitting that we mention today, as the present Pope of the Roman Catholic Communion is meeting in Denver. And it is a controversial event, because there are many who are pilgrimaging for a number of reasons, not only to celebrate and honor an obvious holy man's entry movement into a geographical place so they can share that space. But I think there are many that have concerns about the present day and are journeying to verbalize and vocalize those concerns. along with this type of celebration, I think it is important to mention the tragedy that a Roman Catholic Dominican priest, Matthew Fox, Father Matthew Fox, has been forced out of the Roman Catholic Communion. Some of you may not know that, for his wonderful work in integrating, his wonderful work in the interfaith approach to spirituality, his wonderful work in creation-oriented spirituality and social justice. He has been forced out. A light shining in the darkness. A giant of the tradition of Meister Eckhart, who was burned a heretic in the 12th century. We don't do that these days. We just fire somebody. You know, we don't use those more obvious metaphors of scapegoating and punishment. We're more subtle in the modern day, aren't we? We just cut off wheat. Or don't send arms anymore. Or give someone the pink slip. But nonetheless, it is still excommunication from the community fold. So I share with you a letter that was written a few years ago that Matthew Fox, globally concerned with the spirituality crisis in the world, sent to Cardinal Ratzinger and mentioned the global proportions of such a spirituality crisis. Number one, he noted that the survival of the earth is in jeopardy. And he was attempting to write and call to the leaders of the church saying, the survival of the earth is in jeopardy. We must take a look that we have injured and wounded our Holy Mother, the earth. And we need to look at how we have been wounding her. We need to stop the rape, systematic abuse on the earth that we live. That was the first concern. The second is Father Matthew Fox noted the despair of the youth. And this was a few years ago. This was before any of the drive-by shootings and incredible violence that is taking place, where one will kill another for Air Jordans or just for the thrill of it all. The systematic desensitization of human life, adult human life. It is amazing that the focus is more on the unborn than the already living in terms of violence and abuse. And Father Matthew Fox was calling for the adults who are already living. We need to look at what's happening. Why are they despairing? Why are they out of touch with their spiritual formation, spiritual roots? And it is getting worse. But this was years ago. And now look. The third global crisis in spirituality, Matthew Fox spoke about the loss of spiritual disciplines in the Western religions, which stress inner development rather than territorial expansion and missionization and accumulation of wealth and property. Father Matthew Fox said that the importance that the early traditions in the Western religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, the original focus was inner development. The original focus was self-transformation through meditation and prayer, and transformation through love and shared truth and bestowal of dignity upon one another, has turned into territorial expansion as the focus, missionization as the focus, and accumulation of wealth and property. Fourth, injustice toward women and native peoples was the fourth issue that Matthew Fox was raising years ago to the Roman Catholic Communion through Cardinal Ratzinger. And he was saying this systematic injustice toward women and native peoples, and by native peoples he meant African Americans, Mexican Americans, Oriental Americans. Just recently, there has been an outcry for why are the Council of Bishops and the Cardinals primarily made up of Anglos? And we're in 1980. We're in the 90s, going toward the end of the millennium. Why is it still made up of Anglos? If we are about mutual empowerment, if spirituality is about mutual empowerment and dignity, then it must transcend any kind of politics. It is not a matter of being Democrat or Republican, but it is a matter of mutual empowerment. And still, of course, there are no women clergy. Why is this the case? There are many women who have the qualities and talent and spirituality to be leaders in the world. Why aren't they empowered? Why aren't they taught? Why aren't they given a place alongside their partners? That would truly symbolize a partnership, wouldn't it? In the world. It would truly symbolize the partnership between God and His creation. If we were expressing partnership in this world, partnership amongst the sexes, partnership amongst the races, partnership amongst old and young, etc., etc. Partnership rather than mastery slavery concept, which is a very primitive one, and of course still being acted out in more subtle ways. Five is isolation of church members from global community and a negative attitude towards scientific progress and the trend to move away from the future rather than blending the ancient and modern psyche. Now, that's saying a lot, but one of the last issues that Father Matthew Fox raised was why is there in institutionalized Western religion, a movement to go to the past and conserve the past without moving toward the future. And to move toward the future, one must embrace all of what the scientific community is discovering and finding. Now, what happens if one moves only toward the future to embrace what the scientific community is finding and not towards the past? One cuts off the very life force of the ancient wisdom. But what Father Matthew Fox was calling for was a blend of ancient and modern as we move into the new millennia. That sounds to me like the most proper and most intelligent course is to use all of what God's gifts have brought us. Science is religion, and religion is science when it is operating at its optimum level. Okay. Now, if one were to use a metaphor, a religious metaphor, to describe what we're talking about here with the global spirituality crisis, it would be the loss of the prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. The loss of prophet consciousness, okay, is what Matthew Fox is really talking about. Not false prophet consciousness, but the prophetic quality within ourselves has not been honored by institutionalized Western religion enough. That allows the inner prophet in all of us to be expressed. And the inner prophet is always about the transformation of the world. The inner prophet is always about justice. And laying one's life down for a just cause. Now, it has to blend with other aspects. If we have only the prophet, the inner prophet, which by the way, emerged strongly in this country in the 60s. But what happened is you had a lot of social activists who got burnt out with social causes because they didn't blend other traditions that are lost. And it got connected too much with politics rather than spirituality. It is a spiritual phenomenon. The prophetic inner drivenness toward justice, where one will do one's work around a just cause. And I think the loss today of where we're to go in our life, the loss of a sense of mission. A lot of us are really experiencing that sense of being in transition, and we realize that we don't have a lot of time left really in the world. There's that sense of energy, that urgency too, where we really want to do something in our life. If we're going to work, we want it to mean something. And that is an emerging phenomenon I see today that is a beautiful one. It is a powerful one, that we want our work to mean something spiritually. We want it to have moral and ethical significance. We want it to really be transforming. We don't want to just collect our securities and accumulate wealth so we can buy a Winnebago when we're 65 and travel around the country. This is fascinating because recently I spoke with a financial planner who said that the people that she meets, when she was meeting people in the 80s, it was all about accumulation of wealth and retiring early and living on interest. And she says now what it is about quality of life right now. And it is really a blend toward a movement toward family values, community values. Not he or she who dies with the biggest toys wins. She's amazed by the trend that she is seeing. A whole different form of planning. A really looking at a sense of consciousness and planning that have more spiritual and emotional bonding kinds of concerns rather than individual, isolating, competitive, etc. So it is the solution of entering into the very fiber of this global crisis is to discover the prophet within. But not to get fanatic about it. One has to balance with others, and I'll get to that. Next, the spirituality crisis on the corporate organizational level. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a PhD to realize that when one gets a little healing, gets a little emotional bonding and nurturing, and then one goes into the workplace, one goes, "Oh my God, this is sick. What a sick, toxic structure this is." Right? Because what's happened is people are growing. You know, it's amazing how fast people are growing on the individual level, emotionally and spiritually, growing on the family level. Families are really doing wonderful work in healing and growing together, sometimes growing apart, and then growing together later or apart. But families and individuals are doing great work. But one goes into the workplace or the corporate structure or the institution and finds the same things being acted out that were acted out in the toxic family. And you have to be there, what, 7-8 hours? Okay? Unless you're courageous enough to embrace the principle of social entrepreneurship and quit feeding the institution out of fear and really go out on one's own and be innovative and creative. You know, but that's a real courageous leap to make. And some of us are pushed into it. You know, and if we're pushed into it, believe me, it's the more healthy of the options, oftentimes, because of the sickness and behavior patterns within the corporate institution. that are not religious values. They're not spiritual values being lived out, is what I'm talking about. We go into the corporate or religious institution, what we're seeing are spiritual values being totally disregarded. And what we're seeing is really sick family values and patterns being acted out. The illusion of grandiosity. Right? The illusion of grandiosity. I mean, you know, the war between Nike and Reebok shoes. Where we go, oh, are you a Reebokian or are you a Nikean? You know? So Reebok and Nike are fighting this war, you know, and they're trying to get the fashion industry and getting women more, or Nike's trying to get women more involved in fashion, calling it fitness. Fitness consciousness, but it's actually fashion consciousness. They realize that 80% of sneaker buyers don't hobnob in sports at all. The illusion of grandiosity, whereby corporations have sort of an aura and sense of godliness and power, striving to be the best in distinction to one another rather than allowing their employees to be the best. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Second is illusion of control. And of course, we call these illusions. Matthew Fox is calling this an illusion. This is a reality that we have created, a thought pattern that we have created that doesn't really have to be here. Right? Any kind of spirituality 101 realizes, you know, in education, that we create a lot of thought patterns about how things are, were created for us a long, long time ago, and a lot of us are still buying into those, and we don't have to live by those at all. That we can create a different reality. But the illusion of control, whereby the typical employee feels as though they're out of control, that they do not have empowerment or control. And if one does not feel that one has some bit of control or empowerment, one can feel very, very isolated, depressed, anxious, low self-esteem, don't really feel like they're part of things. There can be a pessimism of feeling passed over. You know, you see these people stuck in mid-management positions and they stay in the institution because they're afraid of getting out because all they see is retirement rather than the possibility of entrepreneurship. And they feel passed over, this resentment, regret. Now, how can that not have spiritual influence? You mean to tell me that someone can spend 7 or 8 hours a day at work and feel regret, resentment, and abuse, and then worship on Saturday or Sunday or Friday, and it's okay? Right. Right. So these has great spiritual significance on the soul, because what it does is it takes and usurps the power away from one's soul. Okay? The third quality in this corporate organizational level and spiritual dysfunction would be secretiveness, indirect communication from above to below. Don't know whether you're going to be fired the next day. Many people, right? A lot of restructuring in organizations, and the upper level management is scared too, and no one's talking their secrets. Well, that's what happens in families, right? No one quite knew what was going on with mom and dad or aunt and uncle or grandma, grandpa, or the sisters, and no one really talked about things that were painful to talk about. Okay? Secretiveness, not direct communication. Fourth, loss of memory of original values. Every corporation has a wonderful set of ideals and values in the beginning. And what happens sometimes is they lose memory of them. Somehow a fog appears. And there's sort of a sense of isolation from the original charism of values. Right? Since we're following, we're doing an advertisement on this tape for Nike and Reebok. Not Nike at first, really started off, sort of wanting people to be fit, right? And healthy. And selling sneakers was wonderful. What a healthy thing. And of course, it turned into something else. The fifth spiritual crisis in the corporation, a symptom of the spiritual crisis that can be located, is do you ever get a sense that there's a low tolerance for self-criticism when the corporation or job gets real sick? There's a low tolerance for self-criticism. The corporation itself doesn't criticize itself, but it justifies itself. It tries to maintain and stress the ideal and almost myth-make and give corporate slogans. Right? Stress the ideal. It's no longer the values so much of the original values that were quite spiritual, but they begin a slogan throwing around. Building morale. The word that people throw around is morale. We've got to get the morale better, you know? So middle management and upper management are asked to help the lower echelons of workers by trying to build their morale. You know, maybe understanding, sort of letting them dump and talk, but nothing really gets transformed. And the last symptom of the loss of spirituality in the corporate structure, if some of you may have them, I mean, this may just be other places. Maybe this doesn't speak to anybody here. The last one would be authoritarian. The corporation becomes authoritarian, rigid, and penalizes individualism, penalizes innovation through creative imagination. So what happens in the last throes of spiritual anemia in the corporate structure is that if anyone begins to innovate or to be individual or to creatively imagine, have ideas, right, and want to be empowered to do that, there's a kind of silent pushing down and saying, you better get with the pack. You better get with the pack, go with the flow. It's called survival. You know, there's not a lot of jobs out there. And of course, a lot of what the corporate consciousness, when it is sick, I want everybody afterwards, by the way, that when this tape is over, to please come tell me which ones are healthy. Okay? And then I want to know why, because I want to talk about those. And I want to be a part of those. So you tell me which corporations are healthy. I think, you know, I'm sure that they're around. But I just don't know of any. So if any of these symptoms you notice in the place where you work, then that is a symptom of spiritual illness, spiritual anemia. Okay? And that spiritual anemia, I don't care if it's being expressed in the workplace, in its system and in its structure, you can bet it's going to be expressed in the church structure or in the temple structure. You can bet it's going to be expressed in the family structure. It can't help but be. We're talking about 8 to 10 hours. Some of us workaholics, maybe more than that, a day, right? That's a lot of time to be in toxic space. A lot of time to be in toxic space. Eventually, it contaminates the psyche and it contaminates the soul. The way out. The way out is to uncover the artist within. The artist within. Now, when I talk about artist within, I'm not talking about somebody that throws paint on a canvas, although I'm not suggesting that this is not art. But I'm talking about it in a more profound way. One of the ancient spiritual traditions was not only about empowerment of the inner prophet, but also the empowerment of the inner artist. And the inner artist is the creative, innovating sense of the self. It is the inner artist is one that recognizes that one is in a partnership with this whole creative process with the highest power. That the artist within recognizes that God or a highest power is the author of the universe, an author of all the creative happenings in the world, and uses, right, through that, remember those old theological notions called free will and grace, offers to men and women the possibility to be co-authors, to be partners in the creating, the recreating of the universe. Right? That's what was offered Adam and Eve. And they blew it because they wanted to kind of do it their way, and they weren't following laws they needed to follow and seeing the author of the universe, right? So what happens, they became the authors themselves, and they blew it. So the trick is, when one becomes an artist and lets the artist within emerge, that one have depth and connect to the author, the divine author of the universe. The artist within is a self, sees the self as a work in progress. The artist within wants to transform the self. Okay? We talked about the prophet, that's the transformer of the world. The artist within wants to transform the self. Is about self-transformation. Is about change. Is about creativity. So, God is the authority in the sense of the primary author of the book that is the self. And the self cooperates and sees God, the God relationship, as a partnership, not a slave-master relationship. There must be some great out there. If there's great coffee out there, will you please bring it in? Okay. Sometimes these places get like neo-Nazi AA meetings. People keep going to coffee and, you know. Wait till the end, dear, and then do your thing. Hang in there. Be present for 45 minutes. Of course, I'm speaking to the choir. The artist within sees the scriptures as not contradictory. Not contradictory. But scriptures are meant for people. The words in scripture, and I'm meaning the Hindu scriptures, Christian scriptures, Buddhist scriptures. When I say scripture, I mean scripture with a capital S. All the sacred writings of the world. Sees the scriptures meant for each person, depending upon their level of spiritual growth and advancement. Okay, I'll give you an example. For beginners, we're looking at the Christian scriptures. We're looking at the New Testament. A beginner stage of development would be, "Thy will be done, our Father who art in heaven." You don't have to ask the Father. He already knows what you need. This is great for beginners. Okay? In more advanced stages of spirituality, however, we have a total opposite, what seems like an opposite text. And that is, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock at the door and it will be opened to you. Anything you ask in my name will be given. This is for advanced initiates in the spiritual life. Okay? What happens is some people who are beginners, they confuse that and they look at the scriptures and they try to, you know, it's like plugging their finger in a socket. You know, you don't do that. Some scriptures are meant for beginners where you are in the beginning. Don't worry about asking. God knows what you want. Just surrender. Okay? Take it a day at a time. And God will make sure that things will happen. More advanced stages, the more advanced one becomes in the spiritual life, the more one becomes a co-author and partner with God. But one has to advance. It is a later stage in spiritual development. One must have moved through the whole notions of pride and arrogance and low self-esteem. And one becomes a true conveyor between God and the human world. But that is a possibility for every one of us if we begin to mine and let emerge the artist within. And that means that you are a partner with God. Now, as a partner, right, you may need to begin very, very simply. And that sometimes means just learning the spiritual territory. Learning about the soul. And learning about the soul's relationship with the world. And learning to cultivate your own self as innovator and co-creator in small ways. And that might mean playing a guitar. Or that might mean being an architect. Or that might mean throwing pots
or putting paint on a canvas. Whatever you do, those are small instances of what I'm talking about. Okay? But whatever you do, begin creating, innovating, letting spontaneity be a part of your life. Now, I'm not talking about impulsivity. You recovering addicts and alcoholics, dear ones out there, you know, spontaneity doesn't mean, oh, I didn't know this relapse was happening, you know. But true spontaneity. It was Carl Jung that said, for a man and woman to really really do spontaneity would mean to really be connected to the creative process and source of God, and to really recreate, because the universe is in process of being created. So the artist within. And last, the spiritual crisis on the personal level. This is in our person now. Anybody ever feel a lack of a higher power's presence in your life? An emotional feeling of the presence of God in your life? That God is with you, walking, carrying you, or has his or her hand in your palm. Some of us have felt that we've lost that, or we felt it before, we're not feeling it now. Okay? This is a spiritual crisis on the personal level, that many feel a sense of deep doubt that God is really leading them and guiding them, touching them in their hearts. Second, increased compulsive behavior toward any medicating relationship, including chemicals, as a higher power. What I mean is any addiction. Relationship addiction, gambling addiction, sexual addiction, food addiction. This is another symptom of the personal crisis in spirituality, because what happens is the more I get an increased compulsive relationship to something out here, how can I go within to find the relationship with my higher power? The real higher power. The living and breathing, present living God within, the divine within. If I'm looking outside, that's the second aspect, symptom of this spiritual crisis. Third, a deterioration of lived values. What can happen when we have a spiritual crisis is we begin, our lived values like honesty begin to deteriorate. We begin to compromise real basic values like honesty with ourselves, with one another. Fourth, a spiritual crisis on a personal level. Feeling of guilt and shame are perceived to be intolerable, and a person in vain seeks to numb the pain of guilt and shame at any cost. So rather than heal the guilt and shame, one seeks to numb it through diversions. Okay. Five, isolation and loneliness, and forgiveness and reconciliation becomes increasingly unavailable. This I see so much in the work that I do and in the world, is that increasing unavailability for reconciliation and forgiveness. And if I could sell AA and the 12-step programs, I would. But the 12-step programs, the reason why they're transforming the earth, and I mean ACOA meetings, I mean any kind of AA meeting. The power of these meetings is that they do provide a certain level of reconciliation and forgiveness. They make the human community a place where one can go to receive this. What a powerful phenomenon. And we need to have a community where we can experience forgiveness, and where we can experience reconciliation. And one of the spiritual symptoms of sickness, of spiritual sickness in the personal soul, is the unavailability of these. And last, desperate religiosity. I see so many seeking for the quick fix spirituality or the miracle. And one becomes real miracle seeking and quick fix seeking, and all of a sudden reads the Bible 50 pages a day and underlines and underscores and goes to church more frequently, but yet one's life is not transformed. A desperate religiosity. And the last symptom is a rigid, staunch refusal to change. That's the last symptom. And what is the way out? The way out is to recover the mystic within. And the mystic, unlike the prophet that wishes to transform the world, or unlike the artist that wishes to transform the self, the mystic wishes to transform nothing. The mystic within all of the traditions is about acceptance. It's about unconditional love. It is about self-acceptance. Meister Eckhart wrote that compassion begins at home with one's own body and one's own soul. Compassion begins at home with one's own body and one's own soul. And then the next step to recover the mystic within is just to be tolerant. Just to be tolerant of many worldviews. To be tolerant of different people at different stages of the path in these AA meetings or COA meetings or wherever we go, or if we're in treatment or we go to church here or there, or being at the workplace or being anywhere we go, that we become tolerant, that we become accepting, that we allow others to be on their path without the need to change. It means to cultivate the generous heart inside of ourselves where we can embrace a large number of ideas and people, that we extend unconditional spiritual love to our neighbor. And it may begin with our wife or husband. It may begin with our children. It may begin with the neighbor who we don't understand, or we haven't gone to their house and knocked on the door and given some cake, or knocked on the door of our neighbor and asked and welcomed them to the community. This kind of extending, that's the mystic within. And the mystic within celebrates difference, is not threatened by it. Celebrates difference. The mystic within searches for the unities. Searches for the unity, for where can we establish harmony? Where can we let this instrument out here in this orchestra be incorporated? It can play. It can play. It may be an instrument that we are not aware of, or we have not heard its music. But we can incorporate it into the orchestra. We can incorporate it into the symphony. Because it is the huge symphony of all instruments playing that really create the divine music. Anyway. So the way out of the personal crisis of spirituality is to cultivate and let the inner mystic come out. And the last thing I would like to say is we need to balance all three. The inner prophet, the inner artist, the inner mystic. Right? If we only have the inner prophet, we get angry pessimistic because we don't have the love of the mystic or the innovativeness of the inner artist. If we only cultivate the inner mystic, we get flaky and out of touch. Too introverted. We're out of touch with the world. Right? We can become too narcissistic, and the relationship between I and thou and me and God becomes too much the focus. And one loses the sense of the self-transformation of the world and creativity. Okay? And if one only gets in touch with the inner artist and not the mystic or the prophet, one's art becomes real superficial. It lacks depth. Right? It lacks depth. Art is more than just a redoing a sign, you know? Or it's more than just fashion, right? Art is more than this. Art is the recreating of the universe. And so the true artist within is not about creating pieces for a museum. The true artist within needs the prophet and needs the mystic, needs the deeper love, needs the deeper justice, plus the inner compassion. And those in a balance will transform the self and the world.